now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton. Now, with the Metro Mayor election starting soon, today we have four of the candidates here live in the studio to answer your questions. So stay with us for the next hour as we talk to them in detail about their proposals and how they might affect you. Hello, everyone.
Gosh,
there's a lot of us eating, isn't there?
It's busy. Everybody's busy. Studio.
So, hello, Terry.
Hello.
In fact, you should say your own name. So,
hi, I'm Lucy.
Hi, I'm Ella.
I'm Matthew.
So, sorry, that was really childish. It just seemed like a good idea at the time. So, now I'm going to come straight across to you two, Ella and Matthew, because of course today's quite a special show. We're talking all about the new electoral. What am I on about? Metro Mayor.
The Metro Mayor, indeed. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's all come about because three of our councils, namely South Gloucestershire, Bath, and North East Somerset, and Bristol, voted to go ahead with a devolution deal. Now, in doing so, they're forming this new collaboration, which came into effect in February. It's called the West of England Combined Authority, and it will manage
it's a massive area, isn't it?
And it will manage new powers. So this new body is going to have new powers in certain areas of local government. Now, the specific areas where the authorities will have more powers locally relate to transport, housing, and adult education and skills. And so the idea is that more decisions will be made locally about these core issues, whereas up until now they've been made by central government in London.
Right.
So it's very much focused on economic growth for the wider region and addressing some of the challenges such as productivity and skills, housing and transport. Now, the Metro Mayor is going to be the chair of this new combined authority and will be voted directly into office by the electorate. So, but hence we've got the candidates.
Is their official title Metro Mayor? Or
yes.
Is this just like a newspaper thing?
Why it's Metro? I don't know, actually. Yeah. Metro Mayor.
Metropolitan?
Yeah. Metropolitan.
Metropolitan Unitary Authority.
He or she or they will oversee the cabinet, which is made up of the three respective leaders of each of the constituent authorities. So in Bristol, we've got our elected mayor, Marvin Rees. Councillor Matthew Riddle is the leader of South Gloucestershire Council. And for Bath and North East Somerset, the leader is Councillor Tim Warren.
Right, so, and six people are jostling for the Metro Mayor position. The candidates are the UK Independence Party's candidate Aaron Banks, the Conservative candidate Tim Bowles, Green Party's Darren Hall, Labour's Leslie Mansell, the Lib Dems' Stephen Williams, and an independent candidate, Dr. John Savage. So we've got four of those candidates in tonight who are representing the Conservative, Green, Labour and Liberal Democrat parties.
Cool. Now, we should point out we're not in, I forget the official name for it now, but we're not in that period where
we're not in Purdah yet. Purdah.
There you go. So, cool. Okay, well, they're going to be joining us very, very shortly. But beforehand, as we always do, we need to get some news. So,
why not?
Are you guys ready?
So, we're as ready as we can be.
Cool.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 16th of March.
If you live in Bristol, then you might want to know that sadly, from 1st of April, the adult book and video store Nice and Naughty on Colson Street, which took over from the gay men's store Clone Zone 8 years ago, will no longer be selling copies of Gay Times or the lesbian magazine Diva. The changes come about because of changes in distribution. However, the shop continues to welcome people of all sexualities and genders who want to spice up their love lives.
Terence Higgins Trust in Bristol and the West Country bid a fond adieu on Saturday to its volunteers and staff past and present as the Allard Richards Centre, which has provided HIV services in the heart of the Old Market gay village for the last 27 years, closed its doors. A buffet to say goodbye was organised by the centre's dedicated staff, and many service users and well-wishers passed through the famous double doors. Services from THT West will in future be provided from the NHS Sexual Health Clinic in Bristol.
Reproductive rights remain a major campaigning priority for feminist groups, and according to the communist daily paper, The Morning Star, Parliament has been looking at a bill that proposes to legalise abortion up to the 24-week point. Labour MP for Kingston-upon-Hull North, Diana Johnson, told the House of Commons that rape survivors or domestic abuse victims might end up facing lengthy prison sentences for buying illegal abortion pills online because they were too afraid to seek help from a clinic. The proposal has the support of the Royal College of Midwives.
Food columnist Jack Munro, who identifies as non-gender binary, has told reporters of the abuse they suffered after notorious right-wing motormouth Katie Hopkins wrongly accused them of supporting graffitiing war memorials. Jack compiled more than six ring binders full of abusive tweets from Hopkins supporters. Although Jack nearly, by their own admission, fell apart during the entire process of seeking redress, the columnist emerged victorious this week after Hopkins was ordered to pay compensation and hundreds of thousands of pounds in costs. For liberal media such as the Guardian newspaper, Jack's case draws an important line in the sand and establishes that the extreme right wing cannot say what it likes with impunity. The Daily Mirror newspaper, however, noted that Katie Hopkins may try and appeal the court's decision.
Pink News reports that one of the last prominent mental health professionals seeking to reprogram gay and trans people into loyal, heterosexual and cisgender individuals has died. Campaign groups who monitor the remaining groups operating under the banner of ex-gay have broadly welcomed the news that Joseph Nicolosi has died at the age of 70.
And finally, German radio station Channel 292 rebroadcast a rare recording of one of Britain's first gay radio presenters on Monday evening. The radio station, which was leased a German government transmitter when the German equivalent of the World Service closed down its shortwave broadcasts, covers Europe with a selection of programmes of interest to radio enthusiasts such as our own Steph and Terry. On Monday evening, they played a rare tape of Andy Archer running down a top 50 from July 1974 from Radio North Sea International, which was a pirate station operating off the coast of Holland in the early 70s.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Lucy Potter.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, that wasn't me. I'm sorry, that wasn't me at all. I don't know what on earth happened then. We seem to be having a satellite feed come through, don't we? So, anyway, we will move straight on into our main feature. And, of course, Ella and Matthew, you're still with us. And we're going to be talking all about the new position of Metro Mayor.
Indeed we are, yes. We've got four of the candidates in the studio with us tonight. We've got Tim Bowles from the Conservative Party, Stephen Williams from the Liberal Democrats, Leslie Mansell representing the Labour Party, and Darren Hall for the Greens. Good evening, all.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So it's just for the benefit of listeners and also candidates in the studio, we'll just explain how we're going to do this. We've put together some questions which we've taken from listeners feeding into the show, and the production team have chosen six questions. Hopefully we'll get through all six, and we're going to ask each of you, give each of you a minute to respond first of all to those questions, and then we'll open it up to a little discussion between each of you, so you'll be able to come back at each other or challenge each other should you wish to do so. Okay, so without further ado, we'll get going. So I'm asking the first question. Now, you're coming into a new job, whoever gets elected. It's a new combined authority. So how will you be informing your equalities policy? And I think we'll start with Darren Hall for the Green Party.
Thanks. The great thing about the Green Party is that we've been I'd like to think leading the agenda on equalities for quite a few years. And so I'm very confident in being able to work with colleagues in the Green Party to lift equalities policy that we can bring to the table. But I think the other thing is about moving it on and making sure that policy is applied across the entire gamut of issues that we're going to be responsible for as Metro Mayor.
Tim Bowles, Conservatives.
Yep, thank you, Matthew. I think you've made two very good points. Yes, this is a new role.
and therefore it really does give us all the opportunity to address things in a new way. I think the really important thing about the role and what we're all going to have to look to deliver is that it is going to be across a broad range of topics, but vitally it has to be for everybody. The real key to making this mayor's role work is that we're providing services, improving the economy for everybody. And therefore, in terms of that policy, yes, that has to feed into everything that we're doing. So I really think that's how we can make this work across the entire remit that we've all got to look at.
Okay. Not quite sure how you'll be informing that policy, though.
Yes, when you say informing, that's my whole point. Beg your pardon. It needs to run through each stream, each thread of the challenges we've got. So skills, transport, it needs to feature in each of those to make sure that we're making it clear, and that's how it's being spelled out.
Okay. Leslie Mansell, Labour then. How would you inform your equalities policy?
Well, I've worked in equalities now professionally for about 20 years. I'm currently the Equality and Diversity Manager at North Bristol NHS Trust. And it's part of what I've done for a long time on a personal basis. What I would want to do is, first of all, engage with the community. And some of that work has already been going on. So, for example, the Bristol Manifesto on LGBT people has involved different local authorities, NHS, and that's a starting point, and it has covered all of the three authorities which will be involved under the combined authority.
Thank you, Leslie. Stephen Williams, Liberal Democrats.
Well, as a Liberal, obviously full equality for every human being is absolutely at the heart of what a Liberal is about. And throughout my entire political involvement, both as a councillor, an MP and a minister, I've always stood up for equalities issues, whether it's gay rights or racial discrimination or any other sort of strand of discrimination where people have been disadvantaged by the law. And I've contributed to making a lot of progress in that area while I was in Parliament on issues such as homophobic bullying. I also led for the Lib Dems on equal marriage, so I've got a pretty good track record on that. But going forward to be the regional metro mayor, I would be interested in listening to every group that feels that there might still be a residual problem that needs to be dealt with, whether it's anything to do with public transport, perhaps more likely in terms of skills, which comes to us in 2018, to make sure that every sort of strand of the economy is where everyone is able to feel welcome, where they can make a contribution.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm just interested because I haven't heard much talk from any of you about maybe the influences of other areas of equality policy, so like racism, disability, and how they will come together. It's just making sure that we're right across the board here, all departments, rather than just favouring one area of equality. Does anyone want to comment on that?
Yes, I will. For me, as I say, working as an equality and diversity manager and also working within the Labour Party and the trade union movement, I've always covered what is now called the nine protected characteristics under the law, which includes black and minority ethnic people as well as disabled people. And I think one of the things the Metro Mayor will be doing is working very closely with the local economic partnership. And if you look at their equality strand, then it's very poorly written. It misses out disabled people, and that's what we must make sure we don't do. We need to make sure that we start with equalities and work from that basis onwards, not add it on at the end.
Tim, I think you wanted to come in there.
Yes, thanks, Matthew. I think it is a good point you make, and really that's really what I was trying to emphasise at the start. This role has got to be about delivering services, delivering all the challenges for everybody throughout the region. I think it's really important, therefore, as you say, that people realise that that is inclusive for everybody in terms of skills. The different groups have got different challenges over housing, transport, so it really is vital that everything we're doing is so broad and covering every aspect of the community. So totally agree with what you're saying. We must look at all groups in this.
Okay, a final word from Darren and Stephen.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of be a bit controversial about this and say, look, you can have all the policies you like in the world, and we know that there is latent prejudice in the system. So for me, one of these things is about taking the policy off the page and actually having a culture within the leadership of the Metro Mayor process that flows outwards, that says that talks about equality in real human terms. I think this slavish reliance on policy and hammering people over the head is one of the issues in and of itself. I think it's about a culture change that looks at equality as such, rather than as a series of policies that we put in a folder on the side.
Well, yeah, I fully accept that equality is right across the board. And I often say to people when I used to be asked, obviously I used to represent an incredibly multicultural constituency in Bristol West, how do you help deal with people who've been experiencing racism, and not just through the law? You've got to be a person who is able to listen and empathise. And one of the reasons I'm able to empathise is, as a gay man, I've experienced discrimination myself. I experienced it in school. I experienced it throughout my adult life. When I was in public office, I used to get hate mail. So I know exactly what it's like. And if I'm elected to this post, I think that would make me the most prominent sort of openly gay politician in a position of public office in the entire country. And that in itself is a pretty powerful statement. But I wouldn't want to be a gay mayor. I would be a Liberal Democrat mayor for the people of Bristol, Bath and South Gloucestershire.
Thank you, Stephen. We're going to move on to our second question now.
And it's my turn. So the combined authority will have enhanced powers to speed up delivery of new housing in line with a joint spatial plan. For the benefit of our listeners, this is about helping the area meet its housing and transport needs for the next 30 years. How will you address the need for social housing in this plan? First off, can I have Tim Bowles, Conservative Party?
Yes, thank you, Ella. Social housing is vital. I've been having a number of discussions this week, and we touched on it in this studio earlier in the week as well. And I think we have to review the way that the planning laws look at the proportions of, and I don't like the word affordable housing, but it's the word that's in the vernacular at the moment. So I think that needs to be looked at, but also the way that we're all working with our housing associations, or in Bristol's case with the city development. I think those are really vital, because the work I've done with housing associations so far is I see them as being a real route to be able to start addressing those challenges. So, yeah, very important. And I think we've got to have a mixture of routes to do it. And that also includes looking at a number of the other aspects of the planning rules, 5-year land supplies and so on.
Thank you, Tim. Next, could I please have Stephen Williams, Liberal Democrats?
Well, we don't build enough houses of any type at all, and we haven't done it for about 30 years in this country. We certainly haven't built enough affordable and social homes, probably since the 1980s. We need to step up the rate at which we build them. Local authorities haven't built much in the way of what we used to call council housing in the last 30 years. So one of the areas I would want to work with the three underlying local authorities, if I'm elected as Metro Mayor, is to pool together their borrowing capacity. They're all landholders as well. And to form a joint housing company to build for market sale, for private rental sector, in order to make a surplus and to reinvest that surplus in building houses for social rent. I think we're going to get more houses built. We can't leave it to the market. We can't leave it to planning agreements. We have to have a direct intervention by the state. And I think that's the area where we'll be able to make a difference.
Thank you. Leslie Mansell, Labour Party.
Thanks, Ella. It's a really interesting question, and it's one that's going to be one of the most important that we're going to have to deal with as Metro Mayor. For me, the issue is that the Metro Mayor won't have that many powers on planning, but what it will be able to do, and what I would like to do first off, is to bring the different authorities together and look at what plans they've got already, because they are there. There's a joint spatial plan which should be enacted. One of the big issues for me as well is all of those planning applications that have been passed, but nothing's happening with them. So in Bath and North East Somerset, there's 4,000. In Bristol, there's 7,000. I'm not sure about South Gloss, but that seems to be a huge opportunity that's not happening. And I think the Metro Mayor can speed that up and make that happen.
Okay, and finishing up, Darren Hall from the Green Party.
So I've got a vested interest in this. I'm on the board of the Community Land Trust, so I can vouch for just how hard it can be to actually build social housing. But the reality is that the building bit is relatively easy and relatively cheap. It's who owns the land that's the problem. And I agree with Stephen about this, that joint vehicle in the public sector enables us to access a load of land that we don't have to pay market rates for. It can then stay in the public sector. And we have to also think about it over the longer term. We can't just sell it off under right to buy. That's one thing. And we can't rely on the market. So, and the final point for me, of course, is about the sustainability issues of building that housing. Because one of the ways you can make this an affordable process is by reducing people's bills. If you build to a high quality, high sustainability quality, you can almost eliminate fuel poverty for the people that are living in that social housing. And just a final point, of course, it's all very well building houses, but we also need to look at the rental market. And I'd like to see a renter's charter across the entire region.
Okay, thank you, Darren Hall. So I appreciate all of you demonstrating your views more widely on social housing, and you focused here on affordable housing and the issue of building houses. But we're also concerned about quality of life and people getting into houses and who these people are and the obstacles they're going to be facing. For example, the LGBT plus population is rapidly aging, and there's not one single facility in the West of England area set up to accommodate LGBT plus residents specifically. Does the regional authority bear some responsibility for such accommodation to be made available, or do you believe that this should be down to the private sector alone? Does anyone want to comment?
I was really interested to see recently, to read about one local authority who has set up a co-housing project specifically for the LGBT community. And I thought that was a really interesting move to specifically address this issue for older people coming together who are lonely, perhaps in two ways. That for me was a really interesting thing to look at.
So Darren, to clarify, are you saying that you would support an initiative like this in the West of England?
Absolutely. I think there's a huge need for innovative thinking, and this is one of the areas that we have to tackle.
Okay, in 60 seconds or less, because then we're going to be moving on, does anyone else want to make a comment on this issue?
I would like to, because I think one of the issues for the ageing LGBT population is quite often isolation and loneliness. Whether it's the best thing to have separate housing, I think we need to ask the population and find out what they really want, because at the end of the day, it's about getting the right services to the right people. It's matching them up in the most appropriate way. We need to do that by consultation and by engaging people.
Thank you, Leslie Mansell from the Labour Party, and Stephen Williams, I think I heard you there, for Liberal Democrats.
Well, I think in the past there's been a need for dedicated housing for people who've got specific health conditions. When people were trying to cope with HIV and AIDS to begin with, there was an issue of stigma and discrimination about people's access to housing and where they felt safe or not. I'm not so sure that gay men and lesbians getting old is a particular niche need in its own right. I don't think we want to segregate people when they become older according to either their race or their gender or their sexual preferences. My own instinctive reaction is that is the wrong way to go. But if people think that sort of purpose-built accommodation set aside is something they want, then I'd look at it. But my own personal instinct is that that would be the wrong way to go.
Okay, Stephen, and I do have to mention that there are more people in the LGBT plus community than lesbians and gay men. But just to finish up very snappily for me, please, Tim Bowles.
Thank you. I was afraid hiding behind the pillar I'd been spotted, Ella. Thank you. I think the key here is that we need to make sure we're providing people, the aged community throughout the region, with the opportunity to be able to still live independently. And I think if we're doing that, and I know the housing associations are really driven on that as well, that will actually hopefully have that benefit to everybody. So yeah, I'm very much in favour of that.
Okay, one final question just before we take a little musical break. What are your thoughts on the withdrawal of core funding for organisations such as the Brigstow Project, which provide non-clinical care, advice and support for those living with HIV in the region? We're particularly interested, would you commit to restoring this funding? And we'll start with Leslie from the Labour Party.
Thank you. I don't think this is anything that the Metro Mayor will have control over initially, but I am very distressed to see both the Brigstow project and the THT finding their funding is being cut. The Brigstow project in particular for community services. I was at the THT at the weekend for its last event to say goodbye. An organisation that's been there for 25 years, providing not just services around health, sexual health, but also to provide a social space. I was chair of Freedom Youth for 5 years, and that group met there, and that was a fantastic service. It still is. It got 2 excellent Ofsted reports when I was there. So it's quite distressing to see it go. How much the Metro Mayor can intervene in that, I'm not sure, but what I would like to see is that money from the LEP is used to go to different businesses, not just big businesses, to make sure that we provide the right sort of services in different communities.
And for the benefit of listeners, the LEP being?
Sorry, the Local Economic Partnership.
Right, okay, thank you very much. Stephen from Liberal Democrats, Stephen Williams.
Well, the Metro Mayor will have absolutely no direct power over health funding whatsoever, and you can't redirect the local enterprise partnership funding to health projects or anything else either, because that's not what the money's for. But I would just say as a general point that the Metro Mayor is going to have a lot of soft power and influence, and if the Metro Mayor says something, it will be newsworthy, because the person who's elected will have the biggest personal mandate of any politician in the south of England outside London. And investment in public health, whether it's in sexual health or in smoking prevention or dealing with alcohol and drugs, is the best possible investment that health can make in our country, because you keep people well or stop them getting sick in the first place. And one of the frustrations about politics is there's so much money is spent on hospital care, the acute side of the service, on primary care. Hardly anything in proportion is spent on preventative measures, and that is
And one of the
mistake.
Other frustrations, Stephen, is you don't always have enough time to complete your answers. We'll move on to Tim from the Conservatives. Sorry, we've got to move on.
Thanks, Matthew. Yes, I agree with everybody so far. As far as I'm aware, this wouldn't be something that would be able to be directly funded out of the funds that would be managed by the West of England Regional Mayor. However, and the point Stephen's made, I think, is the vital one here, is that that individual will have a lot of influence. They will have a lot of voice and have a lot of recognition. And that's why we need somebody who is actually prepared to go out and promote the region in lots of different areas, make sure they're promoting it for everybody. And I think if you've got somebody with a voice who can do that, that's the way we can try and champion and attract funding back into these vital areas.
Thank you very much. And Darren Hall from the Green Party.
Yeah, it's always interesting to be following a Conservative when we're talking about services being cut. Tim, but you know, this is part of a bigger picture where lots of organisations that have been relying on grant funding for years are finding it incredibly difficult because budget cuts are ripping the foundations of the way in which we've been delivering services apart. They are being devastated. The one thing I think the Metro Mayor's office can do is look at how social enterprise can fill the gap and work with these organisations, say, well, how can we come up with a business model that uses a sort of preventative health spend to save process to fund them going forward, and to not just say, well, we can't find the grant funding from government, therefore we're going to have to let these things close. I don't think that's an acceptable answer. I really want to work across all of these issues and try and see whether there are social enterprise methodologies that can make sure we can fund all of them.
Thank you, all of you. I mean, this is an issue that's really close to our listeners' hearts, and one of the reasons we posed the question is that particularly the Brigstow project used to provide housing for people who were made homeless as a result of being HIV positive. It is a housing issue. There's a social housing issue there, and that does fall under the responsibility of the new combined authority.
Cool. Well, listen, we're going to give you a little bit of a break and let you get a glass of water, because it's an awful lot to ask you to talk for that long. We are halfway through, roughly. We've still got some more questions coming up in the second half. We are live, though, on 3 radio stations at the moment. So if you are listening on any of those 3 and you have any comments or views, you can get us on Twitter, on Facebook, or, of course, via our website. Just check us out, shoutoutradio.lgbt. Stay with us. We'll be back with the second half in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Minnie the Mooch by Leon Ross. So, I've got something a little bit dancey in the middle. Might take the kind of seriousness out of it. So. Anyway, we're going to kick off the second half now, so I will go straight back over to Ella. I believe you're asking the next one, aren't you, sir?
I am indeed, and just in case anyone just tuned in, we are talking to four of the six Metro Mayor candidates, Tim Bowles for the Conservative Party, Stephen Williams for the Liberal Democrats, Leslie Mansell for Labour, and Darren Hall for the Green Party. So to kick off the second half of this, I wanted to ask, this is something that's quite close to our listeners' hearts. Many of us, members of the LGBT plus community, have experienced discrimination in the workplace. You'll have responsibility for helping to ensure that adult skills provision meets the needs of West of England businesses. With this in mind, how will you address the issue of discrimination in the workplace? To start, could I please have Stephen Williams, Liberal Democrats?
I would certainly expect every single training provider to have as part of their core curriculum, whether they're training apprentices or people in other sort of strands of skills, an equalities element to it, that you respect everybody who you're training with and you will respect everybody who will be amongst your future work colleagues on whatever sort of strand of equalities that it is. And go back to what I said earlier, I have experienced sort of prejudice and discrimination myself. Not so much in the proper job, if you like, I had before I was an MP, but certainly when I was in office, I experienced it. And you know, I understand more than most that if people think less of you and say bad things about you because of your sexuality, that is hurtful, it is discriminatory, and it definitely needs to be rooted out. Things are a lot better than they used to be, but there is still work to do.
Thank you. Darren Hall for the Green Party.
Well, of course, there needs to be clear policies and procedures in place so that both sides of any disagreement understand what recourse they have for complaints, for getting help, getting interventions in these in issues. So that's one thing. I think the public sector have done a huge amount of really good work that a lot of the private sector could learn from. I think that is one area where the public sector is out in front of the private sector in many cases, in protecting people, in helping people who are suffering from discrimination. And as a manager, I was involved in a couple of cases in the public sector where we were able to solve those issues really quite effectively. But I think there's a bigger picture here about helping businesses understand the value of diversity, in that they are shooting themselves massively in the foot by not encouraging an inclusive community.
I hate to cut you off, but that's your 60 seconds. Leslie Mansell for the Labour Party, please.
Thank you, Ella. And again, a really important question. For a long time, I spent challenging governments to bring in legislation to protect LGBT people at work. And I actually won the TUC gold badge for doing that a few years ago now. We had the protective laws at work that came in under the Labour government, and I'm proud to have been part of that fight. But how are we going to carry that through into all businesses? To be quite honest, I say to your listeners, for goodness sake, join a trade union. If you have a problem at work, go and talk to your trade union rep. That is the only way you're going to get it sorted out. And businesses do need to make sure that they are following the law and not subjecting people to discrimination, because they're actually breaking the law by doing so.
Thank you. And finally, Tim Bowles for the Conservative Party.
Thanks, Ella. I think there's two core things here. Every company I've ever been involved with, whether in the public or private sector, has always had a very robust policy. And I think it's vital that in this instance, everybody has those policies and they're robust and they can be challenged. But the other aspect, and I think this is the key to it, is actually being able to go out and talk to companies, to industry, to employers, and actually highlight to them the benefits of having diverse workforces, because it is shown in terms of productivity levels, in terms of improvements for the company. Businesses really can see benefits by making sure they are enacting those diversity policies. So I think there's two ways of doing it, making sure we've got strong, robust policies in place everywhere, but actually also going out and spreading that positive message to employers of all scale, whether they're multinationals or SMEs.
Thank you very much, all. So you've all given a kind of wide stance. I'm wondering, however, about the specifics, and I believe that many of our listeners are concerned about the specifics. So, for example, if someone is a member of the BME community and the LGBT plus community, or if they have a disability and they're a member of the LGBT plus community, they might experience different and even more drastic discrimination. Do any of you have any opinions or any knowledge about these areas and how they're handled currently in the West of England region?
One of the big issues is accessing gay clubs. If you're in a wheelchair, it could be very difficult to get into them. It's not funny, you know, it's an issue. It's difficult getting on and off a bus. And we have instances where it doesn't matter whether you're heterosexual, whether you're lesbian, gay, or bisexual or trans, you know, you can be standing at a bus stop and you find that the bus sails straight past you because they don't want to stop because of the extra time it needs to get you on in a wheelchair. So all the time inequalities is a cross-cutting issue because everybody under the law fits into at least five of the categories. So,
Thank you.
Know, there's going to be that diversity that you have to think about all the time and look at how you change all the time.
Thank you. I think someone was waving on this side, but I've got a pillar in front of me. Stephen Williams, Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, I entirely agree with what Leslie just said about disabled access, whether it's to public transport, which of course the Metro Mayor will certainly have a responsibility for, and I certainly want to get that right. But I think the more complex issue is in between race, religion and sexuality. And that, I think, is still a bit of an unresolved conflict in society that we still have to work our way through. The equalities laws are absolutely clear on this, that nobody should be discriminated against. But there are undoubtedly issues in between some communities that still look askance at the LGBTQ community, and I think that does need to be tackled.
Thank you. Right, and
yeah, we're going to jump ahead. We're going to focus on gender-neutral toilet facilities in schools because this is an issue that's very pertinent locally on some local news. So should gender-neutral toilet facilities be available in all schools in the region? And how would you go about implementing this policy? And we'll put that question first to Darren Hall from the Greens.
It's a really interesting question, and it causes a lot of upset at the moment. I think we need to get past that upset and talk about it properly. I happened to take a friend's children to a swimming pool this weekend where all of the facilities were gender neutral. And actually it worked across a number of fronts in terms of some of the religious constraints, some of the race constraints. Actually, the whole area of the poolside and the changing facilities was just neutral. And I think that was a really good place to start from, that we should then have that conversation about how we treat it in schools and workplaces as a general point.
So, in summary, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to make absolutely clear. Okay, Stephen Williams.
I think going forward, it probably is the way to go. And I think there'll come a time when we will look back and wonder whether we ever had sort of segregation in toilets and sort of disgusting urinals in the gents' toilets. I think if we had gender-neutral toilets, it would be a better experience for everybody to do what they need to do in a private cubicle. I think that would be better for everyone. And I don't think we need to have the political conflict they seem to be having about this in Virginia and North Carolina and other states in the USA. So the first time I've ever been asked about toilets in a political conversation before, but my instinct, as someone who prefers to do it in private anyway, is that would be better for absolutely everybody.
Thank you very much, Stephen Williams. Leslie.
Well, I think the issue with the toilets now has been going on for so long and that it's taken us so long to sort it out is absolutely ludicrous. One of the schools in Bristol had space on Radio 4 not too long back talking about how they had introduced a policy for children to wear whatever clothes they liked. So it didn't determine which gender they are, and that was far more important. And I think for the issue with trans people now, where I work in the NHS, we find that trans people are more likely to be discriminated against. It's the same in education. It's the same everywhere. And it's a huge issue about respect and dignity and changing that kind of culture. So the toilets is one area. I'm sad that we're still having to deal with this 20 years later after I first tried to support people who were trans, those people who were transitioning, going through that whole very complex and difficult process. So I think there's lots more that needs to be done and a lot more that we can do if we just put our mind to it and decide that's what we are going to do.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. Leslie Mansell there from the Labour Party. And we'll move on to Tim Bowles from the Conservatives.
Thanks, Matthew. I was thinking, as everyone was talking, I thought thinking of experiences I've had around the world in different parts of different continents, and see how things like this do work in areas like that. So personally, from my own perspective, I've never had an issue with it. Introducing into all schools will always be difficult throughout this region, given the age, architecture and so on. So I think it's one of those challenges we could look at addressing in new bills, new developments. But certainly the principle is something I've seen work. And on that basis, yes, I can see the merits.
I'm just going to follow up on that. Is it really difficult? Is it not just a case of changing the signs and putting cubicles in all toilets?
Exactly.
Well, yes, that's the whole thing. But my whole point is that's it. There are so many schools and so many that are divided like that. That's a programme that would have to act separately. Yes, we ought to be making sure we're looking at it in new bills, driving it that way, and then we've got two programmes running. That's what I was trying to make.
Thank you very much. Does anyone want to add anything? Because we've got about 40 seconds left.
I think it's not that difficult a decision. Just get on and do it and sort it out and carry on with the bigger important stuff like discrimination and stop trans people being harassed and bullied.
Thank you, Leslie. Leslie Mansell there from the Labour Party. We've heard from Tim Bowles and the Conservatives. Stephen Williams, final word from you, Liberal Democrats.
What, on toilets or
anything?
I thought we'd done that one quite
just
quite,
offering
quite well.
You a final say.
In general?
Yeah. In general, yes.
Oh, right, sorry. Because I can't see you, I don't know what you're asking. I think that this election is obviously a tremendously important election, whatever people's background, to elect the right person who they feel comfortable can represent their interests, to make sure that the West Country, which is already the most prosperous and dynamic part of the country outside London, is somewhere where they feel that they can be at home and can make a contribution, whatever their background. And I want to make the West Country a prosperous, dynamic place for everybody.
Thank you, Stephen Williams for the Liberal Democrats there. Darren Hall, a final word from you.
I just was pondering about this on the way to speak here tonight, and I was thinking that actually, do you know, in 20 years' time, people are going to be looking back and say, do you know what, the Greens were right. And I think this is the year when people start to realise that things have got to change positively for the future. So, of course, I would say that. But, you know, we're here to think about the long term, about how we make those changes. So if you want to make a positive choice, then we're here to listen.
Folks, we're going to have to leave it there. We are rapidly running out of time. We've been talking to this evening Tim Bowles from the Conservatives, representing Conservatives, Stephen Williams representing the Liberal Democrats, Leslie Mansell for Labour, and Darren Hall for the Green Party. Four of the candidates who are standing for election in the Metro Mayor position. There are two other candidates. We've got John Savage, who's an independent candidate. We should mention him. And also for UKIP, the UK Independence Party, Aaron Banks. We'll have all the information about the candidates and how to find out more information on the Shoutout website. Just go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. But I think on behalf of me and Ella, we need to say
thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks to you for inviting
me. I believe his
me.
Name's Aaron Ford. Is that what
Aaron? Aaron Ford. It's not Aaron Banks. Banks.
Sorry, gosh.
Different Aaron Banks, yeah. Who I believe was in UKIP from the recent press. I'm not sure he still is.
Thank you. We stand corrected there. We'll make sure that information is correct on the website. Do apologise.
So, listen, to all of you, a huge thank you, because, of course, if you are listening, they didn't know the questions they were going to have put to them. So, and I do believe this is the first time you've all been together being interviewed, and it's, of course, live as well. And also a big thank you to Matthew and to Ella as well, who put it all together. So, right, stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Mr. Sandman. It's by the Swing Rowers, that one. It goes on. It's quite a long time.
I'm feeling sleepy already. The dreams are going already.
Can I just say, well done, you two. I thought that was really well done.
It's very interesting, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And not an easy thing to do. We've never, genuinely, never had that many live microphones in the studio. I thought we'd end up with them all talking all over the top of each other, but they're all very civilised.
Very, very civilised. It's the first
very
time
polite,
they've been.
Very polite.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. So, do we know the dates that people have got to vote on? It's in May, I think,
so
isn't it?
The election itself is the 4th of May.
Right.
And obviously, if you're voting,
May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Don't start.
I thought that was reserved. That one. I thought that was only for Star Wars.
No, unfortunately, Darth Vader lost his monopoly to the West of England Combined Authority.
Now, we were just talking before we came on. You did pick up on one point through that, didn't you?
Yeah, I just wanted to say for our non-binary listeners that we do realise that gender-neutral bathrooms are not only a trans issue, they are also a non-binary issue, and just thought we should say that.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. I mean, I do think it is. You just slap a new sign on it and put a few cubicles in. It's not...
Yeah. I don't think it's that difficult.
No.
Yeah.
But it's the it's changing the culture, and it's getting people to buy into that and understand why you're doing it. You know, it's a toilet. Everyone has to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
So why not just have a private space where it doesn't matter who you are, how Wasn't you identify, it, just go and...
Do you know, I think it was Ally McBeal was the first thing I ever saw on TV where they had, like, open toilets. Do you remember Ally McBeal?
Yeah, well, I remember. I never watched it.
Well, but I tell you what it is. It's a bit of a funny, but of course it leads into things like job applications and stuff. Like, I know so many non-binary people who say that they have to kind of have an identity crisis every time they want to go to the bathroom, every time they want a job. And, you know, that's where it expands, but it can be quite silly too.
Indeed. But there are other people, maybe myself, who actually have got the wrong toilet during a job interview. That was slightly awkward.
You didn't walk in on your interviewer, did you?
No, as I came out, my interviewer came in.
No.
Interesting conversation.
Dear. How funny. So, well, I mean, it is important. This is one that you do need to vote on. I mean, everyone gets kind of a bit nonplussed about voting, and there's an awful lot that goes on. But this one is quite a big and important one, because it's going to have quite wide-reaching impact on us as a community, and then also with the extended community. I mean, like Bristol and the whole of the southwest that it covers. So,
what it is, it's a new thing, isn't it? We've not had this sort of level of devolved responsibility across the three authorities working together, being a bit more joined up. So this is our opportunity to elect somebody who will sit at the top, who will represent our views. And you've heard what the candidates have said tonight on various diversity issues and equality issues, and that's why we did it. We wanted to expose that aspect of their thought process.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also the fact that the government will be investing £30 million for the next 30 years, year on year, into the infrastructure that's going to be managed by the Combined West of England Authority. So it's a lot of money, it's a lot of infrastructure. It's a big deal. If you've ever kind of been grumpy in your car or worried about house prices, then you need to be at this election.
Yeah. I mean, May will come flying round. So, but I don't envy them. They've got to keep doing all that, haven't they? For a while, they were just saying that's the first.
That's what you buy into, though, isn't it? It's part of the job
that are coming up. So I couldn't do that all that times, could you?
I'm not sure. Could I? Maybe. If there was cake.
If there was cake.
And you pay £5,000 for that privilege.
I don't know. Anyway, that's it for this week. We do hope it's given you a little bit more of kind of insight into the upcoming Metro Mayor elections. As we said, they are on the 4th of May, but we do want your comments and questions. But if you want to go listen again before you give them to us, that and all the details of how to contact us are on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. We will be back next week, and hopefully we'll be reading out some of your comments and questions with another packed show, as we always do. But for myself, Matthew, Ella and the rest of the team, say bye-bye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.